gentlemen. Our phone number is 877-488-5350 for those of you who would like to write it down. And if you have any questions for Layla, who's going to be talking to us about her son, who actually was given 31 and a half years in prison. Please welcome, join me in welcoming Layla to the program. Layla, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Hisham, for having me on your program.
You're more than welcome. Now, Layla, let's get from the beginning. Now your son was born in the United States, so he is a United States citizen.
Actually, I was born in the United States, and me and his father went to a trip to Jordan, and he was born in Jordan, but he is an American citizen automatically because about three generations or two generations from my father's side, and then, you know, from my mom's side.
So he was born, it doesn't matter where he was born, but he was born to an American citizens.
Yes, American citizens, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of Americans overseas. I mean, many Americans were born in Saudi Arabia and in Japan, in Germany. So it's, but they are still Americans. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe they can't be the president of the United States. But anyway, your son is an American citizen who decided to go and visit Palestine. Is that what I understand?
Yes, he wanted to go visit Palestine and Jordan and Egypt. So when he went to Palestine with his friend Omar Hassan, who's also incarcerated, he went to Palestine first, and they were denied entry. And then from there on, they went to Jordan, and they stayed about a week because, you know, that's where my dad lives, his father's, his grandparents live, from both sides of the family. So there's homes there, you know, aunts, uncles, whatever. You know, we have a large home. My father has a large home over there, and his father has a very large home over there too. So he went and he stayed there for a week, and then from there on they went to Egypt.
Now, what did they go to do in Egypt?
Well, Omar Hassan originally is from Egypt, so
okay.
Egyptian American. Mm-hmm. Egyptian American, and they stayed there for about a month, and then after them they came back like 2 years and probably or 2 years and a half. They were arrested, and the way they were arrested is like a whole SWAT team came and arrested my son from the pool, okay, and they drew guns on him, and they closed all the streets where we live at, and they arrested him in a very inhuman way.
Okay, so hold on a second. Uh-huh. So they went to Egypt, stayed there for a month.
Yeah.
Then came back.
Uh-huh.
Now, what did they do in Egypt?
Mostly sightseeing and having fun. My son was looking for a wife, and also his friend was either looking for a wife or he was following his sweetheart, who also is Egyptian-American.
So two young kids. Now, your son was 19, right?
Uh-huh, yes.
So two young kids, after they finished high school, they decided to actually go and take a trip overseas, which is not something unusual. Okay, so they come back to the United States, and what happened?
Well, the FBI kept following them and harassing them and asking them questions about some guy that they knew. His name was Daniel Boyd, and they barely knew the guy. Both, you know, my son and his friend barely knew the guy, but, you know, the FBI wanted them to say something against this guy, and my son and his friend kept saying, we don't know what you want us to say, we don't know anything about the guy, and just to leave us alone. And then finally, you know, my son started giving him an attitude because they said, you know, he started saying, just leave me alone. He felt too harassed. He was followed everywhere, to work, when he goes to practice, like karate or whatever he was going, kickboxing. They would follow him. They followed me even to work, and they followed me, you know, to go grocery shopping and stuff like that. They followed us everywhere, and they took pictures of us, like the thousand and thousand pages of whatever they call secret evidence, whatever. It's probably of me going back and forth to work and going grocery shopping.
Okay, so how long did that take? And how long after that did they actually arrest him?
after him coming back from his trip, about 2 years or 2 years and 3 months, they arrested him. And the first time
they actually took action against him was 2 years and 3 months.
Yes.
I mean, he went through 2 years and 3 months of harassment, and then they decided to actually charge him with something and arrest him.
Right.
Okay.
Because they had to concoct a story. They had to do, like, come up with something. Because it was
nothing. So what did they charge him with? Okay, when he first was arrested, what was the warrant for to arrest him?
I was outside running some errand for an older lady, and I came back. He wasn't home, and then the same lady I was helping out called me and told me that your son is arrested. It's all over the news. I didn't believe her because she's an older lady. I thought she was hallucinating. And
okay,
then,
but what did they charge him with?
Conspiracy and material support. And
material
it's an
support.
Open thing. Yeah, it doesn't say to whom. And conspiracy to maim and people, to kin and maim people abroad is also open. So, you know, it's just everything is left open. There's nothing really, there's no actual, you know.
Okay, so you don't know what your son was actually charged with?
No, because it's open in the indictment. It just says conspiracy and material support. Conspiracy to kill and maim people abroad. It doesn't say where. And material support, it doesn't say to whom.
Okay. So now, and then how long did that take before they actually sentenced him from the time he was arrested to the time they sentenced him? How long did that take?
2 years and 3 months. They kept him most of the time in solitary confinement, harassed by the guards. They tell the guards to harass them and give them a really, really hard time so they can take the plea deal, because they want to prove to the American people that there are terrorists living here in the United States.
So what was the plea deal?
The plea deal was, if you take 10 years, testify against other people, you know, and say, yeah, you know, they are whatever, terrorists, or they were saying something that they were not supposed to say, then we'll give you like 10 years and plus, you know, the time served, plus you only
against 80%. What other, against what other people?
The ones who were with him, his co-defendants. There were a total of, I think, seven people, all total.
Okay. Now, where did these seven people come from? Why? What were they charged with? Did the seven people go on this trip?
No. The funny thing is that my son doesn't even know some of these people. Like, he doesn't even know them at all. And
okay.
They said they don't even know my son either.
Okay, so your son didn't really have any information to give on these people.
Yeah, he didn't want to lie. He said, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to hurt people that I don't even know. Some of the people he doesn't even know, and some of the people he barely knew. But either way, he said, I don't know what you guys want me to say. I'm not going to lie. So they got really upset with him, and they gave him 31.5 years. And they have him right now in something called the SHU, which is a special housing unit. It's worse than solitary confinement. He only can go out like an hour every 2 days or something like that. And he only can call me once a month. He's in Coleman, Florida. We live in Raleigh, North Carolina. They moved him all the way to Coleman, Florida. It's basically like underground, like in a grave. He's basically in a grave,
okay.
Alive.
Now, do you have any idea, like, who, I mean, your son was with you for, like, over 2 years. And did he tell you anything about his trip? Like, who did he meet there? Who did he go with?
Yeah, he was calling me from Egypt almost every day, and he would talk to me, and he'd tell me like what's going on, and like how he's having fun, and how he's going and visiting other people and stuff like that, and how, you know, he was looking for some female, and if I could help him out, because he wanted to get married, because it's, you know. It's very common for Muslim young men to get married.
So he did not tell you anything about, oh, I met this guy. He's so good. He's he's a fighter. He's a freedom fighter. He's with the Palestinians. He's with Al Qaeda. He's with this and he's with that. Did he tell you? Did he meet anybody there?
No. Actually, okay. You know, we have pictures of him on Facebook just at the beach, which, you know, they said that the beach and the trial was used for as a code word for jihad. But actually, there's pictures of him at the beach, you know, in Egypt. So,
say,
you know,
say that
they,
again. So there was a picture of him on the beach.
At the trial, the FBI, the prosecutors said that the beach was a code word for jihad. That when, like, my son used the word beach with his friend, that was a code word for jihad, the beach and getting married. But in fact, you know, my son's lawyer did go overseas, and he went to Jordan, and he met with the young lady that my son was about to get married to, okay, and he met with her parents, and they told him that, yes, this young man was about to get married to my daughter, and the only reason he didn't get married to my daughter is because she can't speak any English and he cannot speak any Arabic, so they can't communicate.
Okay, very good. Layla, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.